But now let's talk about some real projects. So at CCI, the global, the COVID credential initiative, so we're having a lot of discussions to get more clarity on who we are, what we do. So one thing we have reached certain consensus is we want to create some tangible outcomes by supporting existing VC local, like verifiable credential projects and help them succeed. So I've created a slide. So as Riley mentioned, there are a lot of like projects that are not about health credentials. But I think just one thing to clarify, like there are commercial projects and community projects. A lot of commercial projects are kind of in stealth mode. So that's something I don't have a lot of insights into. But what I'm like kind of trying to categorize is the most projects I know are the community projects. So based on my observations and conversations so far, so if we divide the go-to-market of a solution into 5 steps, so I haven't seen a project that passed like step 3. So if we don't count those like in ideations, which could be a lot, most projects are stuck at the prototype stage. So the interesting about these projects is that they're mostly driven by the supply side, which I mean the technical people who are passionate about building a solution for COVID, but not necessarily having the resources and know-how to take it to market. So this is not a new problem for any technology when it just passes infancy. So, but given the urgency of the problem we're trying to solve here, not engaging stakeholders in the beginning stage, you know, before a prototype is even built, is definitely like not a good idea. So and it's very likely you're building on something like that is not even like validated. So I want here, like Peter and Riley, I want to see like, let's start with Peter. Like what stakeholders have you engaged? So like you mentioned like you're pre like pilot, right? What are the challenges like you're facing and what stakeholders you have engaged so far?
Well, we've involved many stakeholders, I think, because we have, and I think the most important stakeholders for us were actually the health organizations and health institutions that set certain rules and policies. So we have some of them involved in, some different working groups where we have people from healthcare joining. We are following a bit of a different path, I think, than here on the screen, because we are we're trying to get outside as quick as we can. So we're doing these pilots. In SSI, you typically have 3 different roles. One of them is the issuer of credentials, one of them is the holder, one of them is the verifier. And we're the first pilots we're doing is with holders and verifiers in the healthcare domain. So those are health workers and desk workers at the healthcare desk where you enter the facility. And we are now very quickly doing sort of user testing with them and showing them the prototype without actually doing any tests, because legally we cannot do so yet. So we're doing 2 of those, what we call pre-pilots. And we're also looking now to do the issuing part. So we're still struggling to find a lab that will actually issue these credentials alongside a medical test. We at TNO, for instance, we're also a... We can do corona testing. We have our own. We also have a health branch where we do. We have the capacity to do corona testing, but legally we cannot do that for medical reason, only for research reason at this point. So that could be for us our sort of contained pilot. But at this point, it's not yet allowed. So we cannot. So we're looking for a way to do real pilots using a real test lab, and that's again where you run into the policy part. Because in the Netherlands, we have a policy saying we only test if you have symptoms. The Dutch policy is all based around symptoms. It's not about sort of doing preventive testing. And there's a lot of discussion now about there's companies who say, hey, you can go on holidays if you get a preventive test, and then you fly back into Turkey, and you go on holiday, you get tested there again, and then you fly back, you get tested the third time, and then you can have sort of a safe or less risky holiday. And we are still in a societal discussion if this is a good idea or not. And also in the Netherlands, we have limited testing capacity. So there's a lot of those discussions, and they're more with policymakers or with all different stakeholders involved, rather than just saying we're going to move to the next phase and do a scale pilot. Because we have these policy issues to solve first. So we're trying to be creative and see how we can approach it. And so you had a question, Lucy. I just kept rambling.
I think you've covered what I'm trying to ask.
Okay.
Yeah, what stakeholders are all the challenges. And it's good that you guys are taking steps back and think about if this is even a good idea.
Yeah, I think for us, one of the challenges is to, I think bluntly, is that there is now a certain policy in the Netherlands that doesn't involve the things we're working on. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to get people from the official government side to back into your idea. It might become relevant in a month. It might become policy in 2 months. We are, projecting into the future. But it's at this point very hard to get those people on board because they cannot, because there's a certain policy and they cannot break the policy. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, one of our struggles at this point.
Thank you.
And we don't know how to solve it yet. We're just talking to everyone we can. That's our approach.
So I think the good thing is that you guys are talking with stakeholders. So that is a very, very good step.
Lucy, I'll just comment, but I'll be brief here. I want to reiterate one thing that you said, which is that a lot of the commercial projects are in stealth mode, and we have NDAs and things like that. But I'll say that there are I don't know really what the line is between contained pilot and scaled pilot, but there are pilots happening right now with verifiable credentials to address issues raised by the pandemic, which is an exciting thing to see. The way that we're helping people overcome these issues with stakeholders is in the CCI use cases group, there's a subgroup that was focused just on go-to-market. And there was a group of us that really just hunkered down for a week and really sort of crafted a framework. It's a 5-step framework that anybody can use to validate a verifiable credentials use case. It's written specifically for COVID use cases, but not, it applies more broadly. I will drop a link here in the chat. I wrote a blog post about that, or we did, my company. We interviewed the leader of that subgroup. And so if you're interested in that framework, it's a 5-step framework to validating verifiable credentials ideas. You can check out the blog post and I think that's it gives a very good starting point to really validating with all the different stakeholders in the system.
Cool. Thank you, Riley. I'm part of that group as well. I have a comment later, but before I comment myself, Riley, I have a follow-up question, because you mentioned that you guys have few project building on your platform. So can you share with us high level, what are the challenges they're facing? It's good to know that some of them are moving to the pilot stage, but what are the challenges you've seen?
I mean, the challenges won't surprise you, right? And the challenges are policy challenges, just like Peter's talking about, right? There are legal challenges as well. There are exclusion and sort of fairness, ethical challenges as well, right? If all of society suddenly says that you need credentials in order to move around, what do people who don't have smartphones do? How do they manage, right? And so there's a lot of challenges broadly that this space needs to address. And I don't think challenges should stop us from trying to make improvements on the status quo, but they're definitely things we should be considering and thinking about from the outset and trying to solve for. Another sort of common challenge is just the fact that if you're looking at the medical use case, labs are busy, and doctors are busy, and clinics are busy, and adding a new technology into the mix is it's a hard sell, and so sort of balancing selling the value versus the practical implementation challenges is something that will always need to be balanced.
Thank you. So as we were talking about, I just want to show this the slides to everyone, just to kind of get it, just have a mental picture of the stakeholders, the issuers and verifiers and holders. And not only that, because as Riley and Peter were talking about, government is probably not issuer or verifier or holder, but because the house, Peter mentioned, a lot of the problems they're trying to solve is not stuck because of technology, it's because the policy, legislation is not there. So even though like there's huge demand from the verifier side, so if you're looking at the framework and Riley is talking about, there's huge demand to verify people. And the issuer, even though they're not busy, but still like I've heard like a lot of testing labs, they're like, oh, I don't know, even medical professionals, they're concerned about if it's legal, where their legal liabilities to comment or say anything, you know, on any of the health related credentials. So if on legislation, on the policy side, even like someone like government is not like part of any of this like a triangle, it's still important the stakeholders we need to consider. So that's like one of my takeaway from something like in the framework like we developed, we haven't emphasized enough like how important it is for someone like a government, you know, like legal to get involved, even though they're not like part of the triangle. So lastly, as we're only 5 minutes. So there's some like interesting, there's some topics that I've already seen like people raise questions about, you know, how in terms of inclusion and what if like people can't manage their SSIs. So there are like governance and the ethics and the legal issue we've touched upon, which are the challenges that moving those projects forward were knowing if these projects are even valid, because the three of us were not like, you know, experts in that. But I think it's important to highlight these issues that we haven't covered in depth today. Especially regarding the governance, as we mentioned, it's not only the technology, but also the how to govern like the people and the stakeholders. So if you guys want to learn more about the governance, I recommend you to go check it out. The Trust Over IP Foundation, which is part of the Linux Foundation, which was just launched like a week or 2 weeks ago, and which are all three of our companies are founding members. And also like Peter mentioned that they have an ethics board, and which he already shared about like how they work with the ethics board to, you know, to ongoing process to check if they're doing is, you know, is ethical. And I think Riley, I noticed that you have the interview with an inclusion expert on the digital inclusion and COVID-19 kind of topic. Can you just very briefly, what is your like kind of like key points just related to our today's conversation?
Yeah, the key point is very simple, and it's that you can't added in after the fact as an afterthought, right? Inclusion and ethics need to be thought about from the outset. It's sort of like when you're building technology, you can't just go in and try to add privacy protection in as an afterthought later. That, you know, we've seen with the internet, that just doesn't work. It must be built in from the beginning in order to be sound and scalable and resilient enough to last into the future and really accomplish what we want it to accomplish. So we did an interview, as Lucy said, with somebody who is a digital inclusion expert, also an expert in self-sovereign identity, touched on some of these complex topics. And I just, if you're interested, I encourage you to go read more about, you know, what she said. But yeah, that's the main takeaway.
Cool.
Yeah, I can give you a really simple idea of what these ethical or ethics people do. For instance, in our app, we had a statement on the verifier saying green, somebody can enter, red, somebody cannot. Now it has changed into a sort of a color that has no meaning to the outside world, just to the, so that's a very sort of small change in the system. They say, well, if you make it yellow and blue instead of red and green, it feels less discriminatory if you get a red sign. You don't have to be embarrassed if you're standing in a line and the guard has a phone with a red sign to boop and a sound goes off. Mm-hmm. You feel different. So these are sort of very small hints that we get from them. This is the most basic one, but it's actually something we never thought of. We thought it's just easy for the guards to have red and green.
That's good to know. Thank you. I have one last note on the legal side. So a good news that coming from like California. So there's a bill being deliberated on using verified credentials to issue test results in California. So there have been some good progress made. So I think my colleague is sharing like a link. If you wanted to know more about that, feel free to check it out. And if this bill can pass, it's definitely a huge step forward for the entire SSI community. So on that, I would just like to briefly conclude our session today by sharing a quote from Peter from one of our earlier conversations. So he said, we don't know everything. So which is exactly the spirit of our today's conversation. So COVID happens at a time when the technology just became, you know, ready. Some have questioned if our goal is the SSI community is trying to capitalize on a pandemic. My answer is no. So we're a group of people who see the value of this technology in combating the pandemic and want to deliver the value to most people to the most needed. So this motivates us to come out of a little community and find out what we don't know, which is if we can actually help, and how we can help. So, and we need your help to understand it better. So on that, I want to thank everyone again for joining us and Riley and Peter for taking the time to speak to us. And we'll be releasing information about next webinar soon, and feel free to let us know if you want to hear a specific topic. Thanks again, everyone. Hope to see you next time.